His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You sumbitches, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power, black power, black power, and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle. This is Sean Kwali. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hills and the smells of North America. And as always, I count this a privilege. I count this a joy. I count this an honor. I count this all the good words that you can think of to be able to talk to you, my brother, my sister, my comrade in the trenches, and even the enemy listening to be able to hear this broadcast. Black Power Radio, the most hard-hitting, revolutionary, uncompromising, unflinching, unrelenting, unyielding with the enemy broadcast anywhere to be found in the hells and the smells of North America. Gotta give thanks to the God of our forefathers and foremothers, that black God, black by popular demand. And we know we can't have a God with that black God without having that goddess, talking about the divine Elohim. So we give thanks to the divine man and woman, the original black man and woman, for all creation. And we give thanks for all of our messengers and all of our apostles, all of the freedom fighters, all of those who have fought, who have took lives, who have given lives, and who have gave lives for the liberation and salvation of the black nation. We got to give thanks for every Panther Regiment, no matter what time you came. We're not tripping on whether you're with the Huey School of Thought, or whether you're with the Eldridge School of Thought, or whatever school of thought that you're with. We're not tripping if you're coming up out of Lowndes County, Alabama. Wherever you came from, we give thanks for every Panther Regiment and all of our ancestors. The list is too long to name, and we have a power-packed show to get to you tonight. But all of our ancestors, we say Ashe for you, and we give thanks for you right here tonight on Black Power Radio. But if I live to be that ripe old age of Methuselah, which was 969 years of age, I could never thank that mighty supreme being enough for sending us and raising up, preparing up for one, giving up one, and a brother who came on the scene determined from his mother's womb to give this white man hell from the cradle to the grave. I'm speaking of the Black Power General. That's right, that Black Power General, the truth terrorist, the black history hitman, the knowledge gangster, the lie killer, the urban gorilla, that black man who said he's got to be a roughneck. We're talking about the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. And we have to, on Black Power Radio tonight, give thanks for a brother who is holding the line and one who is standing strong against all opposition. I'm going to say that again. A black man who is holding the line against all opposition, no matter what the naysayers say, no matter what haters say, no matter what negative Negroes and negative Nancys say, this black man is holding the line, his back to the wall, foot down on the 1 yard line, and he's telling this beast you ain't getting in. I'm talking about the attorney at war and our national chairman, a brother whom you all will hear from tonight. I'm honored to tell you that you will hear from this black man tonight who has been on the front lines, and I have to say, he's bubbling with the spirit. This black man is bubbling with the spirit and anxious to get his message over to you, and also anxious to hear from you as he wants to take your questions, as we have been offered the air for about 4 months. See, some of you all think that it's just about talking on a Black Power radio show or talking on a radio show or doing this kind of event or doing that kind of event. Sometimes you got to go underground and just straight up do the work that needs to be done. He going to talk about that. But we're happy to be black at you tonight on this Monday night. And you know this is the night where you come and we sit around on this Black Power Radio powwow session and we get our minds together and we get our hearts together and we get our spirits together, and we get our souls together, because guess what? The struggle continues. I know some of us popped some fireworks, and we're happy that President Barack Hussein Obama got elected. I know some of us understand in their minds, and we've made ourselves to believe in our minds, that the struggle is over. But I'm here to tell you, in the spirit of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, representing his national spokesman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, I'm here to tell you, Aluta Continua. Aluta Continua, the struggle continues. Aluta Continua, the struggle continues. I don't know what you've heard. I don't know if you think it's time to sit down. I don't know if you think it's time to punk out. I don't know if you think it's time to lay down. I don't know if you're looking for the nearest Panther retirement home or the nearest Black Power, Black Nationalist, Pan-Africanist retirement home, but I'm here to tell you there is no retirement for the Panther. There is no retirement for the Panther until we have accomplished freedom, until we as black people have some real justice, until we as black people have some real equality. There is no Panther retirement home. There is no Black Power retirement home. There's no Black Nationalist retirement home. There is no Pan-Africanist retirement home. You can't lay down on the teachings of Garvey today. You cannot lay down on the teachings of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, nor the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, nor the teachings of Noble Prophet Drew Ali, nor the teachings and examples of Minister Malcolm X, nor the teaching and example of the Black Panther Party, and you damn sure, we would damn sure not allow you to lay down on the boldest black man to step foot on the face of the planet Earth, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. Some of us think it's time out time. We're waiting in the wings, waiting to see what's going to happen, and waiting to see how this thing is going to play itself out. I'm here to tell you, you have to take your destiny in your own hands. We got to take our destiny in our own hands, because the time is getting short. And the time, as each day passes, is getting shorter and shorter for the foolishness, and we got nationhood to think on. We got nationhood to practice. We have some things we got to do right within our own community. Let me just kick some of the facts to you right now. As the Black Power General used to say, got to kick the ballistics. And so as I represent our national chairman, I got to bring it to you correctly. He's taxiing the runway and anxious to get this over to you. Let me tell you something, black man and black woman, African man and African woman, original man, original woman, Asiatic black man, Asiatic black woman, brown man, brown woman, whatever your label is, let me talk to you on Black Power Radio. Since 1990, if we're talking about the reason why we got to fight, one of the reasons why we got to fight is because the damage that has been done to our people, the damage that has been sustained to our people, our nation, right outside your doors and right outside your windows, the damage that has been done to our people has yet to be repaired. The damage is so severe that, as our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, tell you, it's on automatic, systematic remote control. The damage today in 2012 going into 2013 is so severe now that the face of the Ku Klux Klan and the hidden face of the white Nazi party now resides within some of those black faces that you see right outside your door. If you think you have nothing to fight for, let me pull your coattail tonight. Since 1990, right here in the United States, and we say snakes of America, the United Snakes of America, $1.6 billion, or that breaks down to $20,000 each. If we're just talking finance and we're talking about monetary, since we're talking about repair and reparations, since we're talking about the damage that has been sustained to our people, $1.6 billion or $20,000 each was given to the Japanese for what they suffered with Hiroshima and Nagasaki and other issues. $1.6 billion. We're talking since 1990. Since 1990, right there in Austria, $25 million. Y'all didn't hear me. $25 million with an M was given to the Holocaust survivors, the so-called Holocaust survivors of the so-called Jewish community from their claims in Austria. In 88, out of Canada, we're talking now land, 250,000 square miles of land. Right in Canada, in 88, 250,000 square miles of land was given to the Indians and the Eskimos for some things they went through. In 88, $230 million was given to what they call the Japanese Canadians. In 88, $230 million. In 86, right in the United Snakes, $32 million in the 1839 treaty was given to the Ottawas of Michigan. In 85, right here in the Snakes, $31 million was given to the Chippewas of Wisconsin. I'm going to say it again, $31 million was given to the Chippewas of Wisconsin. In 85, $12.3 million dollars was given to the Seminoles right in Florida, the Seminoles in Florida, and we ain't talking about no football team. In 85, $105 million was given to the Quah of South Dakota. I'm going to say it again, $105 million given to the Sioux of South Dakota. In 80, right here in the United Snakes, $81 million was given to the Klamath of Oregon. In 71, right here in the United States, 1,044,000,000 acres of land was given to the Alaska natives in a land settlement. In 1952, in Germany, $822 million was given to the Holocaust survivors of the so-called Jewish community. Now, if we bring it, brothers and sisters, to the present day, I just gave you some facts straight up out of the 50s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. If we bring it to the present day, brothers and sisters, and talking about repairing our damage and repairing what has happened to our people since just 1865. And we know the Congressional Library records in Washington go all the way back to 1555. If you start just at 1865 to the present day, when the question becomes how much reparation in land acquisition, or in financial or monetary gain has been settled to the descendants of slaves, the descendants of those who have suffered in the hells of North America, the original black man, the original black woman, what have we been reparated for slavery and the Jim Crow era and the real Holocaust, or the real hell of a cost that we have paid right here in the hells and smells of North America since 1865 to the present day time? My brother and my sister, I have to announce to you that your people, my people, the black man and the black woman, me and you, have received zero. We have received a big, whopping zero. I want that to register with you. Out of $822 million given in the German Jewish settlement to the so-called Jewish community, and we are taught by the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad and his national spokesman and representative, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, to say so-called Jews, because they are not the true Jews. The so-called Jews, those who walk around with the small hats today, you see them sometime in New York City, or you see them down in Florida. They are not the true Jews. They are not the true Hebrews. They are a small clan, a small class of Ashkenazi Jews. So-called Jews. Ashkenazi just crawled up out of the caves and hillsides of Europe. We are taught by the black power general that you, black man and black woman, are the original Hebrews. We are taught by the national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, you original man and original woman, you are the original Jews that you're talking about and read about in the Torah, in the scripture. And so if they were given $822 million for their Holocaust, and they lost well under what we lost in the transatlantic slave trade, they lost well under our $600 million that was lost, some high estimates say. Some estimates go into $60 million, $6 million. It's a hell of a lot of our people that were lost, that were brought over here just to build this country, this continent that ultimately became the empire that started from 15 or 13, pardon me, scrawny little colonies, that started from some scrawny colonies, and now off of the backs of your and my people, now this nation is up and this empire is up. And as you see in the movies, they say now, the empire strikes back. And so it is black people that have been robbed of a knowledge of self. And when you rob black people of a knowledge of self, it means that that black man or that black woman takes on the mind of the oppressor. And that oppressor rules from automatic, systematic, remote control. And so you see the drugs in our community, and you see the alcohol in our community. And as Minister Malcolm X would always teach, that seal on that alcohol bottle is a government seal that we're breaking. That seal on the cigarette package, that is a government seal that is being broken when you break open your pack of Cools, when you break open that pack of Newports, when you break open that pack of Virginia Slims or whatever it is that you're smoking, if you're smoking Black and Milds, if you're smoking Cigarellos, whatever it is that you're smoking, you look on the side, and it talks about a Surgeon General's warning. And when you pop open that seal, whether alcohol or whatever it is, you see clearly that it is a government seal that is being popped, pardon me, as you're popping it. And so it is the white man that has given our people the drugs and the alcohol, and he has pitted our people against one another and stepped back now and said, look at what they're doing to each other. And so our people now are destroying one another in a genocidal, fratricidal situation that is killing us on a daily and consistent basis. And so now, when you have people who begin to wake up, and you have people who begin to see the plans and the aims of the enemy as we prepare for our national chairman, I'm excited and can't wait. Get yourself together and get yourself ready. As I said, he's taxiing and on his way. But as the people wake up and begin to now see the plans of the enemy and see the aims of the enemy, if you, as a bold black man or a bold black woman, if you now begin to fight back against that government seal on the alcohol, against that government seal on the tobacco products, against the government institutionalized crack cocaine that is in our community and permeates the violence in our community, if you begin to fight back against the police brutality, and you begin to fight back against the unfair way the court is dealing with us, the criminal justice system, then they begin to call you a racist. They begin to call you a hater. They begin to call you a hate monger. They begin to call you a anti-Semite. They call you a race baiter. They say that you're playing the race card. But if the slave takes the whip, what they used to call the cat of nine tails, from the cracker man, the man that was cracking the back on the back of our people to keep them in line, if the slave takes the cracker's whip and begins to whip the slave master, that is not reverse racism. That is not reverse discrimination. That is the slave, my brother and sister, getting up out of the yoke of bondage. And what we have not done in all of our efforts, completely, no matter how great they were and how great they are, what we have not done is gotten up out of the yoke of bondage of oppression. And so now we come into the deep hour. We come now into an hour that is so far in the quarter that there's almost no time on the clock. And I'm not saying that to scare you. What I mean is nothing can last forever. You have some young black males and some young black females that don't respect anything. But I'm here to tell you that the Creator, the God Almighty, has created those types of brothers and sisters and the types of brothers and sisters that are on this radio broadcast. He has created a brother like Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz to stand in this hour and organize in this hour the lumping, those who are the have-nots, those who have nothing to lose in order to gain total and complete freedom. Because there are many who have punked out and given up and said there's nothing to fight for. So many elders now have integrated the movement. The movement is becoming more and more integrated by the day. And the more you integrate that strong black coffee, the more you integrate that strong black teaching that woke you up in the first place, that reality that woke you up in the first place, and you replace that strong black coffee with a we are the world, we are all one, we are all together integrationist teaching and ideology, you weaken that coffee, and you weaken that teaching, and you weaken that movement. And you cannot stand firm on a pro-black line or a black nationalist line or a pan-Africanist line, and you are not worried about the concerns, the needs, and the aspirations of black people or Africans here trapped in America and throughout the world. You cannot have an integrationist movement in 2012 going into 2013 and think that you, out of some miraculous way, are going to get free by everybody loving everybody. It was not them who were under this type of yoke of bondage. It was not them who have been robbed of everything, including self-knowledge. It is you and my people. And we are the only people who are robbed like this, my brother and my sister, who now, instead of going for self-knowledge, we wrap ourselves up in the educational information of the white man. We wrap ourselves up in the information and educational process and ideology of our oppressor. We hold on to our slave names. We are afraid to let go of our slave names and our slave minds and our slave theologies in order to come back and be ourselves and to come back home and to stand up and get what's ours. These are the kinds of mishaps and missteps that keep us trapped in this condition. And so now, as you see, the people elated. With my last 4 minutes here, you see the people elated. You see the people excited. You see the people now have a sense of euphoria for a hope and American dream that they really believe is theirs and that we really believe is ours. And I have to say that as much blood that has been shed on this soil on behalf of my people, of course we have some stake in this land. But I have to also say that your stake in this land is not tied up to the plans and aims that come out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C., up out the White House. If you are a freedom fighter in this hour, if you are a revolutionary in this hour, if you are a warrior in this hour, if you are one who really wants to see change for your people in this hour, you cannot have the same goals and objectives as your enemy, or your plans and your designs be tied up in the aims and objectives of your enemy, and you think that you're going to get free somewhere. It's not going to work out like that. You have to put black power back on the agenda. You have to put Pan-Africanism back on the agenda. You have to put that revolutionary spirit back into the youth. You have to begin now to go back into the comedic sciences and your ancient arts and sciences and begin to pull out the ideas that your people had before they were plagiarized, before they were mixed up, before they were fixed up, and before they were tampered with. You have to, in this hour, be willing to look your enemy square in the eye and go knuckle for knuckle, pencil for pencil, and mind for mind with your enemy. Some of you have forgotten, and you've gotten soft. You have been integrated with your oppressor for so long now. You've been integrated with these no good bastards so long now that now you've gotten soft. You're just like that doggy. You're like the little puppy dog that has grown up amongst the kittens, and now you have lost your natural instinct to defend yourself. See, the law says that two things cannot occupy the same space at the same time unless those two things become one. So if you're sincerely about black power, and if you're sincerely about the resurrection of your people, that means that you are going to have to hurt some feelings. That means that you are going to have to piss some people off sometimes. That means that you're going to make some people uncomfortable. I hear the word is out there that some people are afraid to invite Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz places. You don't want to invite our national chairman places. You don't want to invite the new Black Panther Party to your meetings and your conferences because you are afraid that the new Black Panther Party is going to make your white people all uncomfortable. You're afraid. You're telling us now that we don't want to upset Sally. Sally, Sally's a good Sally. You're telling us now that you have to consider whether you're going to bring Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz to your area. Well, what the hell are you considering? The boldest black man to step foot in the spirit of Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, and I heard him say from his own mouth that this black man would not sell you out, and this black man will not let you down, and this black man will not punk out. And if you believe, those of you who say you believe in the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad's ideology, his way, his revolutionary fervor, his manner, his spirit, his presentation, and you heard from his lips, as I heard from his lips, that he said Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz would not sell you out, he would not punk out, but that he would run and he would maintain a pro-black line and a black nationalist line, then what the hell excuse do you have to not support him in this hour? And what excuse do any of us have not to organize on the behalf of our brother who has labored since the late 80s with the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad? I want you all just to labor with me because we're about to bring on our national chairman. He's coming on right now. He's coming on. But what excuse do we have not to ride with our brother and not to ride with the new Black Panther Party? Some of you are so quick to put the party down. As soon as a Glenn Beck or a Sean Hannity, Fox News, or CNN put some propaganda out about the party, you're so quick to run with the propaganda as if it's the truth. But when you look at the condition of our people and where we are today, just 100 or so years up from slavery, and you ask yourself, have we really made progress? The condition of our people bears witness that we must make progress and make it at a faster pace. We must make progress and make it at a more sturdy pace. We must make progress and push forward and put forth all the agendas and plans and aims that our forefathers and foremothers had on the table. Did you forget about COINTELPRO? Did you forget about J. Edgar Hoover? Brothers and sisters, at this time, I'd like for you now to buckle your safety belt. This is the black man that I told you about who has been laboring since the late 80s on behalf of black power, black nationalism, laboring with the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. You've seen this black man in 2001. You've seen this black man on C-SPAN and CNN. Seen him up there talking about what really happened in 9/11, talking about the so-called Jews. You have seen this black man travel from east to west to north to south to raise our people. And this is the black man that if you really want some real revolutionary change, you're really about black power and black nationalism, this is the man to get behind. My brothers and my sisters, please help me to welcome Black to Black Power Radio, our national chairman of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense and founder of Black Lawyers for Justice. This is our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Black power.
All right, Black Power. Black Power, my brother Sean.
Black Power.
It's my honor to be on with you, and it is my honor to be on with the brothers and sisters in the radio listening audience. It's a pleasure to hear your voice and to hear your fiery spirit and to hear your commitment to the principles and the doctrine and the teaching that we love so dear. I want to thank those in the radio listening audience, so whoever is receiving us. And I am certainly happy to be on tonight, and I want to say, giving honor to God, I'm thankful to our God and the God of the Black Nation for allowing me to be here tonight. I'm thankful to all the ancestors and those who have fought for our liberation and our salvation. And I'm thankful to the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, who is my mentor. And since I was a college student, brought me through my revolutionary rites of passage. I'm thankful for all of them. And I'm thankful for the principles of justice that have been given to us from the goddess Maat and given to us from our creator in the beginning. Through the form or the personage of the goddess Maat, and gives us these principles of justice, truth, order, harmony, righteousness, and reciprocity. And so with that, I will just open up for questions. At this point in time, I will say Assalamu Alaikum, Black Power, Hotep, Free the Land, and Black Laws for All Black People. And what I like to do is just open up to anybody for any questions right now. I don't have a speech or anything. I just want to hear what's on black people's minds tonight and to hear what's on the minds of this movement, this black conscious movement. And even I want to know, where is it going and what it will be doing? Hold one second, sir.
Yes, sir.
I gotta make sure my daughter goes to bed right. Gets back in that
yes,
bed.
Sir.
Right now.
I'm gonna sleep in my room.
You better go to sleep right now. If you don't go to sleep, go to bed.
Right now, brothers and sisters, we are live with our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, as he prepares to tuck his daughter in and entertain all the questions. We want you to grill our national chairman tonight. Ask him what's on your mind. Those of you who are in the new Black Panther Party, you have not heard direct from the national chairman for quite some time now. Now is the time to find out what's going on and to see what's happening, see what's on his mind, and see where he's at.
Okay, here I am. Brothers and sisters, I'm back. I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm a dad, too, so I got to make sure that my daughter, little baby Mayat, CC Malika Shabazz, I got to make sure that she's in bed early and up bright and ready so she can make her way through the educational system here in the United Snakes of America, which is very tricky in a public school system, to make sure that she gets the three R's and the basics. And also at the same time that Christopher Columbus did not discover America as they try to teach her, but that
That's
Christopher
right.
Columbus was a murderer of the red man and the brown man and other kind of things you have to do to proceed through this system. But the main thing is to get them to bed and get them up early and get them to school and have them fresh and looking well and nice and well-dressed. That's for the revolutionary black dad in the hells of North America. Now, I'm black here, and
yes, sir.
I guess we got a lot to talk about, you know. You got to talk about an election. You got to talk about, you know, all the, you know, whatever, around the election. Does the election matter? Does it not matter? Is the new Black Panther Party, as has been stated by some, are we the army of Obama? And as others have been stated, are we the enemy of Obama? Or are we none of that? It's just so much to be answered out there. So many issues. And so without even trying to name the issues, but there are many issues. Strong, heavy legal issues, political issues, social issues. There's a lot to talk about. And so I'm going to go to the phone lines or whatever. If you want to ask some questions, however you want to go, but I'm in an open line mood.
Yes, sir. We're going to take calls from the phone line, take them from the chat room, and I'll ask you some. I'll start with the phone lines. Brothers and sisters, those of you who are listening who have not called in yet, the lines are packed. The number is 646-478-4447. This is open line. No questions off limits. No holds barred. I'll start with the first number. I'm going to read these numbers off, so listen for your number. And if you're not in queue, press number one so we can get your call in. We're starting with area code 323-558. Again, area code 323-558. You're on live with Black Power Radio and our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. Your question, please, Black Power.
BB 48 in Shalafia, Nick. This is Immortal Young Truth Outlaw Khaled Shakur from the West Coastal region and Los Angeles Chamber. Since we are in the fall of the year 2012 in America, I must give an honorable salute to all new Black African Panthers the world over and to the National Chairman, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, in respect to the Black Lawyers for Justice. I have one question and one question only. Did you vote for Barack Hussein Obama once? And if so, did you vote for Barack Hussein Obama again?
That's a hell of a question. And maybe the answer will be a little bit better. To my dear brother Khaled Shakur from Los Angeles, California, and many of those in the radio listening audience who would like to know such an interesting question. Did I vote for President Barack Hussein Obama? I'm assuming you mean in 2008. And did I vote for him again? Let's review that question, and I'll start by saying the answer. Well, I won't even give you the answer in advance. Let's go through the answer. But the answer in 2008, at a time when I had never voted for the President of the United States of America ever, in no election, even though as a political science student at Howard University, even though as a community organizer, even though as one who, as part of my biography, had even served on the front lines here in Washington, D.C., of Mayor Marion Barry's political campaign, and I learned many of the tactics that I later used with the Million Youth March and the Panther Party and others. I learned them going door to door, precinct to precinct, and man to man, and hand to hand, and bullhorn on the street, facing all kind of odds. I learned a lot of that right here on the ground in the trenches in the hills of Southeast Washington, D.C., in the early 1990s, working with Marion Barry as he came out of jail on the charges that he was on. I'm just giving you a backdrop so I can answer that question, because that's an excellent question. Many of you, before we get to the answer of the question, and I'm not saying this is you, Brother Khaled Shakur, at all, many of you sincerely want to know an answer to this question. Many of you in the radio listening audience are part of the 96% of black people who did vote for Barack Obama. There are some of those that are on this line right now. I mean, part of what 98% of black people who voted, and who voted in record numbers, they are on the line too. They want to know. Those that are on this line, Malik Zulu Shabazz, did he vote for Barack Obama? They on the line, too. They say, I love Barack Obama for a variety of reasons that I'll get to in a minute. The others on the line that don't give a damn about him.
That's right.
They hate him. And they say he's a boot-licking Uncle Tom. He's an imperialist. He's a neo-colonialist, and he has no value. He's the puppet of the Rothschilds. He's the puppet of the Illuminati. He's everything negative in the universe. They on the line too, and they want to know, did Malik Zulu Shabazz vote for this so-and-so, Barack Obama? They want to know, because they will be ready to attack me if I do. Can you see the dynamics that I'm dealing with? Then there are some that are in the middle. As we look at the answer to this question under the laws of Mayotte and being balanced, and also having the knowledge that the goddess Mayotte has the wings, that means she flies high above and can see the whole picture and is not down low amongst the creatures of the earth where she can't see up high. Like Ra, who creates Mayotte, has the hawk head on his body, because the hawk flies high and the hawk has to look at the whole terrain as a leader to make a wise decision. He has to look at the whole terrain in order to make a decision here or to take a position here. If he's a leader, and all of them kind of people on the phone is dependent on that leader to give them some kind of guidance through this hell of a situation, which is called a black man being the President of the United States of America, named Barack Obama. And that's, for one, it's a hell of a equation and a hell of a question, and it's much more complex than meets the naked eye, and it is much deeper. That's why I'm going to take time to answer this question. It is much deeper that needs to be dealt with and explained and analyzed by all sides. Those in the black community that love him, those that hate him, and those that merely disagree with his policies, and some that agree and disagree with him. And still bearing in mind the larger fact that 98% of black people just went out here and voted for this man, And here we are as revolutionaries, nationalists, fighters for justice, organizers. Here we are fighting in that 98% to try to convince people that our position is the position and the way to go. And here we are now, have to dig into that 98% of his support for our support. And to do something like that successfully, you damn sure gonna need a hawk on your head. You sure gonna need the wisdom of Ra, of God, the Almighty, and you're going to need some supreme wisdom in order to handle that situation successfully, if you're going to handle it successfully. Now let's dig into it a little further. I just want to know, did you vote for the man? God damn it, you're going to wait on my answer. And when I give you my answers, you will understand, and all of you will, God damn it, accept my answers. And if you don't, it's too bad. I will give you, and I'm giving you enough facts already to understand that if you're trying to lead black people out of this condition, you're going to have some wisdom. You're going to have what they call the master grip that the Masons talk about, that you can be able to get a people out of a condition. It's a hell of a condition that they're in right now, because this is a hell of a contradiction. You have a government that have been described on this radio broadcast and previous broadcasts justifiably, and have been described by Minister Khalid Abdul Muhammad as the United Snakes of America. And in the early colonies, they said, don't tread on me. It was a sign of a snake on the flag of America. Don't tread on me. But it's called the United Snakes of America because it is deceitful and hypocritical on the principles of justice. And I will take that to the Supreme Court. It is a hypocritical nation that have deceived the Native American, deceived the black man. It have deceived the poor. And it has weaved a hypocritical path that have favored the white over the black, the rich over the poor, America over the non-America, and it is a bastion of white supremacy. Now, here in this nation that have robbed and oppressed the black man and have been stamped and approved by Uncle Sam all the way along, Lyndon B. Johnson included, here is this nation that would not give me, a political science student and a student of grassroots politics, just cause for me to vote for the presidency, though I did vote in certain elections as an independent. I have never been registered with the Democratic Party. And my brothers and sisters who are here on the line, who are in the Democratic Party, I love you as God is my witness. I love you, brothers and sisters. I love you to my family members and my neighborhood members and those, all of you around who are members of the Democratic Party. Know that you, as a black man and a black woman, I love you. But I don't give a damn about the Democratic Party, because the Democratic Party has misused black people. The Democratic Party, if you read our paper, you'd know the answer to the question already. But let me break it down for those who need an update and an upgrade. Can I keep going? Let me ask permission with my host to keep going on this question.
Yes, sir. Please do, sir.
So now, my dear brothers and sisters and Brother Khalid who are listening, now, here we are now with a contradiction, because you have a government that has historically oppressed us, and you have a black man now that is a son of a black father and the son of a white mother, but is no doubt a black man because black genes are dominant, and he has a attractive and intelligent and a cold-blooded black wife. Sorry about that for those that don't like it, but I would just never go back on that. And he has two beautiful daughters. And God damn it, I'm going to even say this. He is a beautiful black man. Shit. He just occupied, happens to now be in the contradictory position of occupying a government who by nature is designed to oppress and to dominate, enslave, and dog out the black man and the black woman, and the red man and the red woman, and the brown man and the brown woman. But he's a black man now coming up into that, and he draws all kinds of, support for different reasons. Why did you support him in 2008? I never voted in no presidential election. I didn't vote for old Bill Clinton, but I did vote right here in my city council elections when I had Just Cause. I damn sure voted for myself when I've got 18,000 votes here in Washington, D.C. So I got to tell black people who are on this line that believe in being politically active and going to the polls, I say that when you got a strong interest locally and a strong local interest, go to the damn polls. Be active, as Fred Hampton say, in your local political situation. All politics is local, as others say. You damn right I got an interest in keeping the City Council of Washington, D.C. a majority black, even if there's some Uncle Toms on the council. God damn it, I'd rather keep these Toms on than these gentrified enemies that are encroaching on my neighborhood and my block. I got local interest, and I'm a local activist with local interest. Never do I be voting for no president of the United States of America, because I don't believe that any of them, I believe that, damn it, that any of them at any time are not the true friend of the black man and the black woman. And so, yes, I will say I made one exception in my life. In 2008, yes, I did, for the first time in my life as an independent, I did go to the polls and I cast my ballot for the first black man to reach the presidency of the United States of America. And I did that, sir, not just for myself. And I did that not because I believed that he really could reform or even had a chance of remotely reforming this monster machine, this CIA, Pentagon, FBI, everything that was already in place before he got there, that he bears really no responsibility for, because it was already there and it was already our enemy before he got there. But I'm one of them kind of voters that voted for him for other reasons. I didn't vote for him because I thought he could reform or change the United States of America. That's crazy. Barack Obama cannot undo what Almighty God have already set in motion. He couldn't even dream about checking the fall of a modern Babylon, the fall of a modern Rome, the fall of a modern British Empire that have offended the laws of God, and Maya is against her today. At best, he could only put brakes with no brake pads on. At best, if he was effective, he could slow down her demise, and that would only be good for us merely as a respite in time so we could get our act together, knowing that if America falls overnight, God damn it, we can't even protect ourselves against one hurricane, one flood, let alone the fall of America. I'll get to that in a minute. I'm keeping it real. I must speak from my heart tonight, and whether you agree with me or not, I really don't give a damn tonight, because I can't please everybody, no way, no how. Now, this question must be dealt with mastery, depth, and cannot be reduced to childlike slogans and these goddamn little posters y'all making on Photoshop. You're reducing a sophisticated, complex, heavy question that must be dealt with by serious leadership that seriously care about our people. The critics of Barack Obama are reducing the arguments to name-calling, mud-slinging, and Photoshop, and it's immature, and it's not working. And if you're going to work this equation as a revolutionary, just take a little advice from me. You don't have to necessarily adopt my position, but understand why my position is my position. And number one, before I get started, everything I do is because I love black people. Ain't nothing I would say or do or carry out or act or defend if it's not my primary motivation is because I love black people. And for that, I'm willing to take heat. Let's come back to this question. Yes, I voted for that man in 2008, not because I believed he could reform America, but I voted for that black man because the black male image in 2008 and for 60 years had been dogged out. And unfortunately, my brother, I said the black male image. Now, whether we like his image or not, and whether those on the line, us who are revolutionaries, even give a damn or say that it is a high image to be the president of the United States or not, you guess what? Your babies, your daughters, your sons, your black nation, you black nationalists, your black nation, out there in the black nation, goddammit, when they looking up to somebody, it better be Ray Rice, it better be, it better be Ray Lewis, huh? It better be James Harrison, Kobe Bryant, Dwight Howard, LeBron James, it better be Jay-Z, it better be Beyonce, it better be, what's her name with that big booty, Rihanna. Thought I didn't notice, huh?
Watch out now.
Look, man, a little humor is always nice, you know? But look, let's get serious here. What am I saying? The role models in the black nation are oversaturated with athletes and entertainers. And I have to give the man credit because for the first time here, somebody, a black man, rose up and was able to take on the white man's best in his field of politics and government and defeat this cracker hands down. I mean, he has just wiped them out. Now, there have been serious disappointments, but before I get to the serious disappointments, I'm going to say why I voted for him in 2008 and why other black people voted for him in 2008 and 2012 and why black people was the damn critical choice and force behind that last election. They was the difference maker with a candidate that only got 38% of the white vote. I'm talking about Obama. It was black people and brown people that made the difference. And maybe if they knew how to organize, maybe if they knew how to wield power, maybe they could have some power, some influence. That's another subject we'll get into. But right now, what I'm just telling you, black man, is that there was a social value in 2008. There was a social value. There was the value of black kids in the ghetto, our children, that look up, that see that man on TV every night, that see the fact that he is the leader of black, brown, yellow, red, and white, that see the man, even though it may be misguided, certainly at this point, but see that the man certainly is brilliant. The certainly man has some good qualities in him. Now, I'm just going to say that, even though I will go on in this answer to criticize some of his policies and to tell you why things have changed for me, I still will have to let you know some basic actual facts. I don't hate the man. Some of his policies I damn sure hate. But I am not a hater of the person of Barack Obama. My daughter sitting here right now, she's as black as can be, knows all my black teachings. Now, she's for her some Sasha and Malia and Michelle Obama and some Barack Obama. And goddamn it, all in my neighborhood, they for some Barack Obama. So damn it, even if I'm just a strategic or a tactical man, I have to be a goddamn fool as a leader and with all kind of people depending on me to go out here and be taking a public position, and it's not a principal position, and get over here on the side of y'all and just start making Obama, Adolf Hitler posters, just going crazy, just becoming the anti-Obama man. I'm on record for criticizing Obama in the strongest way of any black man since. All y'all talking on Facebook, but your stuff ain't came on the news, top of the damn news. All of you critics, all of you, leaders of organization and this movement and that movement and Glenn Ford and all of y'all that consider yourself the anti-Obama experts, God damn it, my criticism of his bombing of Libya was stronger in weight than all of your criticism. Because, God damn it, all praise is due to Allah. When I speak, people listen. And when I help others to speak, people listen to them. And this radio broadcast hasn't been on in months. And guess what? It will be repeated and listened to. And if you want to know the man who's behind this and who know how to get a message out, it's the man on this telephone right now. All praise is due to Allah. Let me wrap this answer up, man. I could just teach the rest of the broadcast on it. So there was a social value, dear family, and in the reasons why I voted for the man. There's other reasons why I voted for the man. I wanted, first of all, let me wrap that point. I did. I do feel that the black male image had been helped, that the black man is viewed as dysfunctional. The black man is portrayed on TV as a bum, as an abuser of his woman. He doesn't pay child support. And the black man, his male image is getting a raw deal. In 2008, and as the evidence will be entered today, amongst the nations of the earth, whether you like him or not, he still have earned the black male or the black man a higher degree of respect and shown that the black man is more than an athlete or an entertainer, but he's a world leader. Even if you don't like the government he's leading, he's still the goddamn leader of the goddamn world. That takes some talent. And you can't argue with me if you don't just admit certain facts. That takes a goddamn talent, even if that talent could be used for wickedness. This is a hell of a contradiction we're in. So let's take it a step further. My second reason for voting for him in 2008, inside of the black male image, was I liked the image of a black family. And that still, even today, I have a soft spot for that. Sorry about that. I do have a soft spot when I see a fractured black family, when I see homosexuality on the rise, crippling the black nation. When I see the black man uncommitted to his queen and his goddess, when I see that black family and I see others in the world have to salute that black family, I'm sorry about that. I still have a soft spot in my heart for that. Another reason in 2008 I voted for him was because white racists were against him. I voted for him because Rush Limbaugh was strongly against him. Sean Hannity was strongly against him. the Ku Klux Klan, the Aryan Nation, the Nazis, the goddamn crackers in Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia. I'm talking about rednecks. All of the country were infuriated. I say, well, damn, this might be something good. If all of these racist white people are really upset, there has to be some good in it. And goddamn it, that some of that argument still plays out today. If it's pissing the cracker off, then there may be some value in it. Think about that. Am I still on?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, let's cover them 2 points, because I know I done stirred up some now firmly against me, and others are wiping their brow. They say, whew, because I do have in the black nation Obama supporters that support me. You're there. That's just an actual fact. Now, a lot of people out there talking, but they ain't got no following. They ain't got no command and control or no organization, and they don't have no expectation. Anyway, let me cover them 2 points. And because white racism is on the rise and against them. Okay, and again on that point, I never believed and still do not believe that he can reform America. You cannot reform America. And anybody that tells you that America can be reformed is misleading you and deceiving you. The die
That's
has,
right.
As the most honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches, the die has been set. The die has been set, and she, like ancient Nineveh, she could reform, but would not reform. In Nineveh, the king put on sackcloth and ashes and acted like they wanted to atone, but the nature of Nineveh would not allow Nineveh to atone. So even if Barack Obama put on what they call sackcloth and ashes, what his critics call taking apology tour, what Romney called taking an apology tour to the Muslim world and not being what's called an American exceptionalist. Even if he was a humbler president, even if he made all kind of concessions that we know he ain't going to make, even if he withdrew all forces from Afghanistan right away, withdrew all American forces from every American base, pull back them goddamn drones out of the Middle East. Pull back American military bases and coercion all over the planet Earth, even if he did all that. The nature of modern Nineveh, the nature of America would not allow him to do it. This nation has an eagle with the swords in her beak for a reason. She is born to make war and will die making war, and she cannot be reformed. So at best, this black man in front of us, who I have said is a brilliant black man, at best, his presidency could really only be symbolic. But guess what? A people that needs some symbolism have gotten some symbolic value out of it, some psychological value out of it, a psychological boost, a boost in self-esteem. And that's worth, in some instances, that's worth a whole lot for black people. But for sophisticated political scientists and revolutionaries, the symbolism ain't nowhere near enough to combat what I call his deficits. And this is why I have had issues with Mr. Obama, primarily in the arena of his foreign policy. I never believed that he could do anything about the domestic policy anyway. I never believed that he was going to get no Congress and no House and no Senate to pass no Help the Black Man bill. Even if he put a bill in to help black people, do you think that's going to get past Jim Boehner, the Speaker of the House, the Republican Speaker of the House? You think a sincere bill to help ex-felons and to help others in our community would get by? No, sir. But I'm like you. God damn it, try it. Show me, Mr. Obama, that you're with them black people that love your ass so much that they braved long lines and they saved you in Virginia. They saved you, Mr. President, in Ohio. They saved you in Florida. They saved you by all the little numbers and margin of numbers. When your white followers abandoned you, Mr. Obama, it was your black followers and your black organizations and the NAACP and others that were the margin of victory. Now, Mr. Obama, you got to stand up and do something now.
Teach.
For them, you have got to do it. Or the God is going to turn against him for abusing God's chosen people here. But let me get to, before the people, let me get to me first. Because I fell off the wagon shortly after the bombing of Libya. I said, no, 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 this is not what I voted for. I did not vote for a black man who is the son of a Kenyan black father, who, by the way, he does not give nowhere near enough credit to. Another subject. But I did not vote for a black man to bomb Africa. And the only people I've seen him bombing are black and brown people. I haven't seen him kill one white man yet through the United States military and his executive powers as commander-in-chief. Sorry about that. And if you're not willing to criticize Mr. Obama, you need to get out of politics. Because politics is not about sucking up and going for everything without recognizing that if you can organize to express your dissatisfaction, you may get some change and not be deluded by the rhetoric of change. Successful political warfare is not waged by sheep. It's waged by thinking people. And so even if you vote for Mr. Obama, if you're not willing to stand up and to organize and to call certain shots like it is, to hold him accountable, what the damn good is it anyway? For any politician, mayor, city council, senator, governor, whatever it is, congressman, if you're not willing to hold him accountable, that's for all sides. God damn it, if you're a revolutionary and you're just talking about this system, but you're not organizing to be able to affect and to counter what you're against, then you're just out there talking. And if you out here just cheerleading, if you're voting for somebody and you ain't willing to call it like it is and organize around that. The bombing of Libya is where I fell off. I didn't elect a black man to bomb Africa. As I'm a lawyer, I'm into what they call constitutional law. I'm into what they call human rights law. I'm not into this. I'm shocked by the National Defense Authorization Act put into effect by the Obama administration and signed by Mr. Obama that allows the indefinite detention of American citizens abroad and at home without trial or due process. As an attorney, I'm appalled by that. Mr. Obama, who is a constitutional lawyer himself, I'm appalled by these drones and the extrajudicial assassinations and killings of innocent human beings in different parts of the world, specifically Pakistan, Afghanistan, Yemen, and Northern Africa. I am appalled by the kill list and the kill matrix and the list of Muslims that is delivered ultimately to his desk every day to approve a list of people that the CIA says should be targeted for assassination, knowing that the CIA is dirty, rotten, and corrupt, as dirty, rotten, and corrupt as his last director, David Petraeus, who just had to resign. So here you have a black man that by nature's from us and got brilliance from us, but he's in a house full of thieves. He's in a house surrounded by a real matrix of people that don't love us. and don't care about us. And he is in a position where he can change it, knowing that if he changes it too much that they will take him out of here. Or have they won him over to them? The wise amongst us see the clear picture. So in 2012, as I conclude this question, brother, I went and voted. I damn sure went and voted. But damn it, I did not cast a vote for anybody for the office of President of the United States of America. I'm sorry, I just could not ethically do it. As much as I love the image and my mama likes him and all of that, I'm not going to co-stamp no murder. Sorry about that. But I did not inhibit anybody in the black nation for voting their choice. I did not go out here and pour cold water on my people because I love my people and I know they need hope. I know they really need Malcolm's image and Garvey's image and other images that are really in line with our interests. But guess what? That's not reality. His presidency is a reality in our lives. So, therefore, I'm not going to go out here and run into no goddamn hurricane and go out here and start teaching that Barack Obama is the devil. That don't even make strategic sense. And if you ain't got no strategy, you ain't no goddamn general. Now, many of y'all got strategies, but are they goddamn effective? And so I did not go out here and go against the man, nor was I out here cheerleading for the man. Didn't do any of that. And goddamn it, when he won the race against all that opposition and all them Rush Limbaughs and Sean Hannitys, goddamn it, I do have to let the people know that support me, that voted for him, that I'm not going to be out here on election day lined up with no Sean Hannity, lined up with no Karl Rove, and lined up with a bunch of red-faced Republicans, and they could put me in the same damn category, and I'm right with them hating on Barack Obama. God damn it, congratulations, and let's get back to business here.
Yes, sir.
And the business here is, how can us here, those that are dissatisfied, as I leave the question, a hell of a damn question took up the whole broadcast. But it's a good question and a good subject. The key here is, brothers and sisters on the phone, whether you agree or disagree with Mr. Obama, I believe that everybody on the line loves black people. And everybody on the line wants to see black people do better. And all my life history, dear brothers and sisters, on the streets, in the courtroom, and facing a whole host of enemies, to let you know that if I come to a position, I do it well thought out and with a strong credibility. And so I would love to give you some advice in this hour. And so my strong advice in this hour is that we got to organize. All of those that are dissatisfied with U.S. foreign policy, it's not enough to fake. We're not going to Facebook our way out of this. You're not going to chat your way out of the reality of the policies of this government that you do not like.
That's right.
And so we have to organize. And I feel that even though my positions on the election, I have not forced the new Black Panther Party to adopt my positions, though I know that as a chairman of the organization and whatever statue I hold, I know that my positions hold weight. But what I'm saying here, dear brothers and sisters, is that I leave myself in a position now where black people will hear from me. In whichever context they hear from me, they will hear from me now with credibility, and I have not isolated or turned them off where I cannot try to grab them and take them where I really want them to go. And where we really want them to go. I'm saying you got to at least, even when you disagree with the man, try to do it in a way where you get specific, like I did just now, get down into the policies and the specific reasons. And if you leave yourself in a decent position to help all of these people out here, many of them who voted for him, they need to know about our teaching, our ideology, our doctrine. They need to feel our program. We need to recruit from all of them black people that went to them polls politicized. They're left hanging out there. This administration is not coming back for them. They have voted and they're left hanging like a hanging chad. And now, if you're wise enough, you will get up and go after black people and get them and take them to a higher level and a better level that's well beyond trying to be an American citizen and having hope in an American president, but having hope in a plan for our God and our destiny. And that is a nation of our own and world rulership. If you have a right mindset right now, you can go out there and get a lot of good results. Let me be quiet, because I know I just went on and on. God damn it, I covered the points I wanted to cover.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your answer. Our callers, again, listen for your number. Next number here is 862-252. Again, area code 862-252. You're now open on the air with Black Power Radio and our national chairman, Dr. Malik Lushabaz. Give us your question.
This is Dashaun Farad from Your Black World. How are you doing, family?
All right. Right.
Talk to me.
I'm glad you're in great spirits. Listen up. Last week I was on BET. I attended a taping of T.J. Holmes' show, and the subject they had on, it was Mark Lamont Hill, Chris Pena from NBCLatino.com, as well as Sandra Guzman, another Latino journalist, and they were discussing the possibility of a new civil rights movement coming out of President Obama's election or reelection. What I want to know from you, do you feel that African Americans are placing too much on President Obama's shoulders? Or what I should say is, do you feel that African Americans are attempting to make President Obama into the next Martin Luther King or the Black Messiah? If so, was that a mistake?
That is a mistake. It's a mistake to put too many expectations on Mr. Obama. But it's natural in a situation like this to have high expectations of a man that has undoubtedly extraordinary achievements by the standards that you go by in America. So here you have a scenario where, you know, it used to be like that. Let me answer you directly, Brother Farad. And this is a man that is a critic of Obama, but he supports him some Obama. But he will critique Obama, but he's a voter for Obama. He's one of them people I'm talking about. But he is a respected man in this community. Now, let's deal with this question, Farad. You know, they were talking that talk in 2008, that he was the fulfillment of the vision of Martin Luther King, and that in some senses, in other circles, he was spoken of loosely in the context of being messianic.
Yeah.
I don't think, certainly the latter is not true, and the former is only true to a very limited extent. We have a tendency, because we haven't had leadership and genuine leadership, to expect everything out of all of our leaders. We have a tendency to make, after being lost from God so long, we have a tendency to make damn near anybody we follow God in his absence. And so we're looking for a Messiah. The Messiah is prophesied to come amongst us. And damn it, you got 300 or more amongst us that have come amongst us saying they the God, Son of God, God in person, and the list goes on and on. It could be abused. Let's keep it real. And so Mr. Obama, I think right now, after having all of those high expectations in the beginning, I think some of those expectations have been reduced clearly.
Mm-hmm.
It's clearly that the state of the economy, the state of what he really could do in the black community, has reduced expectations and reduced the overgrandizement of Obama. And I think right now, his honestly, is he is a black man who is president that black people support strongly, but know that the reality of it is that he can't change much because of the nature of the system, because of having to pass votes and all that through the House and the Congress and deal with all this mess called white American politics. It's very little he could deliver. Yet he should deliver more and could deliver more. And the only way that he will fulfill the first part of your question, my dear brother, the only way that he could fulfill to be the true fulfillment of the vision of Dr. Martin Luther King is if he stood up with that powerful position he has and he would introduce legislation that would be clearly in the interest of his most loyal constituency, and that is black people. I'm not saying he has to put the black man's bill to Congress, but he should put that bill in Congress that helps ex-felons, that bill in Congress that helps those in the most low income of neighborhoods. He should put that bill in, that package in, that will help our people in the ghettos of America, and only the way like he know he can, he should reward, he must reward his most loyal constituency. Otherwise, it becomes usury by the Democratic Party. He could. Dr. King wanted our people to rise to the highest of office, and certainly he would be amazed to see that a black man went on to become a two-term president. But the Dr. Martin Luther King I know, the giant for justice and clarion of justice, would certainly have to have a private meeting with Mr. Obama on his drone policy. He would have a serious meeting with Mr. Obama on his policies overseas of invading really just the rights and the airspace of other nations. Just this foreign policy thing has got to go. Just got to go. And I believe that Martin Luther King, if he couldn't get the right meeting at the White House, would step out of the White House, and like he did against the Vietnam War in 1968, he would speak truth to power of that which he disagreed with. Mm-hmm. And so we have, as a educated people, Brother Farad, we have a duty to speak truth to power here about that which needs to be corrected and that which we disagree with, and do it with credibility so people will hear us in this hour. And so that's my answer to the question. You know, he's probably trying to be the best president he probably could be. He's doing the best he can. He's probably, really, to be honest, he the best that America could offer for this thing. He's clearly the best chance that America have of any reform. But again, she will not be reformed, and he cannot reform this House of Scorpions. The goddamn Jim Boehner and the Tea Party are a house of scorpions. And this Democratic Party and Republican Party ain't going to do a damn thing but fight it out over the years. And 4 years from now, we're going to say Democratic Party or Republican Party. We haven't been invited to the party. Unemployment is high, and things will be worse if we don't organize. Because the last thing I'll say is I'm tired of this movement holding the correct strategic position and not having the organizational follow-up to match the rhetoric. We want to condemn everything coming out of the White House, and 99 times out of 100 got the right cause to oppose it, but we're divided as hell. We don't have a lobby. We damn near ain't even speaking to each other, talking about acting like we're going to stop something. We just running off at the mouth at a bunch of coffee shops and a bunch of forums and on Facebook. We ain't doing a goddamn thing to stop what we say we believe in. And damn it, I'm here on this phone. I damn it, even if I'm just a lawyer, I get some action in that goddamn courtroom. I get to go in that courtroom and get to a decision. I get to see my enemies and face my enemies and defeat my enemies and face powerful white folks and powerful police and officers and corporations and companies and force enemies to dig deep and force people on the hot seat. I mean, I get action. I mean, God damn it, where do you get action in this movement against what we disagree with? Where is the action? And so I'm here to tell the damn Honorable O'Malley Yeshitele, I'm here to tell goddamn, well, not goddamn. I'm here to tell anybody out there, Cynthia McKinney, Sultan Seti, who of them, name him, what's his name, Umar Abdullah Johnson, everybody out there that's really dissatisfied with this situation. Look at how hell we divided from each other. Where's the Black Nationalist Convention? Where's the Pan-Africanist Convention? We are dried up and scattered like hell. And inside every one of them organizations, dried up and scattered like hell. God damn it, some of you don't like me and I don't like you either. And so as long as this division persists, the people will be singing God Bless America. All right? And it's really partially our fault. I'll take another question.
Thank you. Another question.
Hashim, I said you would come on tonight. Maybe you just ask a question. You come on next week. But I'm going to continue to take these questions, and I'll try to be shorter, and maybe I'll have to come back. Go ahead.
Yes?
Sean?
Am I still on?
Yeah, I'm hoping I'm on. Am I on?
Yes.
I'm on. I couldn't not be on if I'm not on with you, right?
Well,
I think Sean has to run the boards. Hold
Chairman,
on. Let me ask him. Am I on?
Chairman, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, brother.
Hold on.
Yes,
let me
sir.
Ask him. Am I still on? Somebody text my phone. Anybody in the audience, text my phone and tell me am I on?
Because you on, Chairman. If I can hear you, definitely on.
You're listening to the internet?
Yes, well, actually, I'm not sure.
On the phone line.
I'm not. This is the phone line. I'm not sure if you're still streaming, because I'm listening, you know, via the phone line.
Stream till, this stream goes on till 10 o'clock.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, and that's a correction, Chairman Shabazz. Just to add on, I never referred to myself as a supporter of President Obama.
Well, did you vote for Obama?
I voted, but... I'll keep
did you
up.
Vote for him or not? It's all right. I'm not going to attack you. Did you vote for him or not? He asked me, so you know I'm not. You open the door, counsel. You open the door. Now I'm going to ask you, sir.
How did you say to Brother Chairman?
I said, did you vote for President Obama?
Oh, well, currently I'm in journalist mode, so we're not at liberty to answer that right now. I'm not serving as a pundit.
Oh, brother, you're going to get out on a technicality. I'll take that as a yes. But you're not in bad standing, sir. You're with 98% of other black people and with people we know you respect and that others on this phone have some respect for. Michael Dyson, it's Cornel West. As much as stuff he talk, his ass went out there and voted for him some Barack Obama. You there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
And so many people that I know that criticized him did vote for him. Only a few people was like me and held that vote, you know. But I'm not knocking you.
I know you're
now,
not.
Now, the question is, sir, what can you do? I guess we'll get to these other callers when they call in. Well, I'm going to let you ask questions. Since you're the journalist and Sean is off the line, damn it, you ask
no,
the question. You know,
no, sure, no he's still on the line, Chairman.
I'm back on, Brother Chairman.
You're back on. Well, let's go. Well, let me stop for a minute. We got these questions from the audience, damn it. Well, anyway, y'all choose it. It come from the audience or it come from these two top journalists in the Black House briefing room. However y'all want to do it.
Deshaun, we'll keep you on the line, brother, in case you got a question.
Damn
too. We got
okay,
Sean,
well,
Deshaun, you come back and host the show for us.
No doubt.
You come back and host the show. Sean, make sure, brother, please, that happens within the next 3 weeks.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead with the show, sir.
Okay, sir. Let me bring the next caller in here at area code 864-226. That's your area code, 864-226. You're on the air with the National Chairman, New Black Panther Party. Give us your question, your comment. It's an open line, Black Power.
All right. Black Power, and good afternoon, or good evening.
Good evening, good afternoon.
Good evening.
Black Power, sir.
Black Power.
All right. Okay. It's a pleasure to speak to you, Dr. Shabazz, and I have a very brief compliment I would like to give you and an even more brief question that I would like to ask very quickly.
Go ahead, my dear brother.
All right, brother. I would first like to say that it was an extraordinary breakdown and eloquent breakdown that you just gave about how the psychology of our children was and is affected by having a black family on television, even though the power is tokenism in many different ways. But that symbolism will be a seed that's planted within all of our children. But the compliment that I would like to give to you is the fact that in the same way that Barack Obama took his talents and chose not to take them out and prop up corporate America, you, sir, know that you could have chosen to do the exact same thing when you left out of Howard University. So I would like to give you the utmost of compliments for, instead of absorbing, like so many bootlickers and Uncle Toms, the carnal values of the United States, that you took your innate talents, and until this day you're still fighting for the underprivileged. And I feel privileged to speak for you for those and many other reasons as well. Okay, now here's my question. In regard to police terrorism, we know now that we have, in many cases and in many places, communities that are like, the people are like sheep, not in that they're not wise, but in that they're innocent and in that they're like sitting ducks. And those communities are being police patrolled and quote-unquote, and I emphasis on quotes, protected by the same people who hate their guts and all of our guts, regardless of what our standings in societies are. So my question to you, sir, is, are you supportive of the idea of eventually supporting the evolution of or an expansion of community policing like that of the Detroit, I think, 100 that you were once involved with, in other areas of the country so that we could eventually build up the eventual military force that we will need in the nation that not we may have one day, but the nation state that we absolutely must and will have one of these days with your work and your excellent cooperation. Thank you, sir. I will sit back and listen to your response.
My dear brother, I thank you for your compliments and your words. Before I go any further and answer your question, I want to take a brief but very important moment of silence for the mother of Brother Silky Slim. My dear brother, in Baton Rouge, whose mother at this hour is in transition after a long illness. And Silky Slim is our brother, and I know that this must be a very serious time and hour for him, and so let us take a moment of silence and meditate for him and his mother. Thank you so much. My commitment to ending police abuse is very deep and is broad-ranging and is multifaceted, my commitment against police abuse. I just come out of a trial last week when I participated with my co-counsel in Black Lawyers for Justice, Attorney Greg Latimer, a big trial here against the D.C. Police Department here. And our side won a big, big victory against D.C. Police, who are prone to falsely arresting and hauling black people off to jail, and they got hit big time down at the United States Federal Courthouse last week. I got wrongful death cases in my law practice where police officers come and choke the life out of black people and just taser us and dog and beat us till our bodies are blue black, and you cry when you look at the autopsy reports. Brother, I'm serious against this police brutality. Really, right now, my life is dedicated to fighting it and really fighting it on a legal level and digging in and going to war with these bastards in the high chambers, in the chambers of these damn courtrooms and out here on the streets. Now, let's talk non-lawyers, and let's talk organizing, and let's talk what you talk, community policing, because I have a dream and a vision that they're all supposed to be working together, and I have to be honest, to a certain degree, I'm frustrated, but I'm no less committed. I'm frustrated because at least for the 12 or 11 years that I've been over the Panther Party, and for the 20-some-odd years I've been in the movement, I have not seen the black movement who know the evils of police brutality and know the evils of the situation we face, that they are abusing our rights and killing us. I have seen a lack of progress in the movement overall to effectively organize to combat it. So right now, me and Black Lawyers for Justice and some others, yeah, I can fight all day in these courtrooms and deal with these crackers, deal with these Uncle Tom police officers in these courtrooms. But nevertheless, I know where we really should be. I know where the Panther Party should be and should long ago have been. And that is building a movement and building, if you will, a militia, and building a defense base and community organizing with the people to combat police brutality. And brother, one day if I come to any real power, I mean, I'm blessed, I thank God, all praise is due. I have some power now. But if I get some real power in this movement, or even better yet, if we could get some real unity in this movement, but I would love to have patrols on the streets in every city of America. I would love to have campaigns amongst the community, amongst young, old, elders, everybody with their iPhones and cell phones, organized and monitoring and on the police like hawks everywhere. I would love to build a movement where the vibe and the temperature is so strong and so passionate in the search for justice that when they kill us, in self-defense and legally under the law, that they meet the same fate. And it can only happen when a real movement for justice takes place. There's so much, man, into that, dear brother. I am committed. That's all I can tell you. I'm not going to get on this phone and make no big promises about what no new Black Panther Party may or may not do. I don't know what they would do. I know that they're against police brutality and they fight it where they can. But I can't make no big promises that we're gonna do anything right now until we get stronger as an organization. And I can't even promise that this movement could tackle the problem, because the movement that we represent, though committed, is low in forces and the unity is weak right now. It could get better. The man you spoke about with the Detroit 300, that's Minister Malik Shabazz in Detroit. I could name you a list of others that I respect that would be great in this movement. I could name the December 12th movement out of New York City that could provide great street help and strategic help. I would love to form a coalition with the Nation of Islam and with the anybody out there, man, the Black Hebrew Israelites, the Nubian Nation, just regular citizens that are against police brutality. I would love to be a part of a national movement. In the meanwhile, I'm building a national legal organization with attorneys that will fight the battle. And we have investigators and we have law clerks and others. And through the website that will be coming out very soon, Black Lawyers for Justice website, I plan on uploading the hottest police brutality videos and trying to organize as many as I can around the nation to watch and to spy and to report on police abuse and to give me the videos and so I can use it inside the movement to expose what's going on and to inspire others to fight this cause. So that's about the best I got, Black man. There's a legal move right now and a commitment. I have a commitment to other organizers that if you're serious about this problem, I would love to put video cameras on the street, patrols on the street, unarmed patrol, armed patrols on the streets. I would love to have marches, demonstrations, investigations, and goddammit, operations to solve what I consider to be a serious problem in the community, and that is police abuse of our people.
Caller, we thank you for your question. Next caller, your area code is 302-607, area code 302-607. You're on live now with Dr. Malik Shabazz, our national chairman. Give us your question or your comment. Black Power. Last call, area code 302-607. Your mic's open.
Yeah, this is Tyrone Gwynn. I was a part of the New Black Panther Party here in Philadelphia, and now I'm the United Urban Nation. I had a question from Lee Zulu Shabazz.
Go right ahead, sir.
Right ahead, guy.
Okay, and I'm saying, I understand your religion is Muslim. How can you be a Muslim? Do you know what Muslims did to our people? And do you know who Master Farah Muhammad is?
All right, is that your question?
You there, caller?
All right, let's take that.
Sure.
I love that question.
Wow, I'm everything jumping at myself, Chairman.
Brother said, how can you be a Muslim when do you know what Muslims have done to our people?
Wow.
And do I know who Master Farah Muhammad is? Boy, I could teach another 45 minutes on that question. But I'm going to try to reduce my answer to a clear, concise 5 or 7 minutes. I'm going to take it that brother is sincere, but he may not have all the information that would help him to reach the right conclusion. He reaches some good conclusions, though, at least one good conclusion. First of all, let me take the back part of the question before I take the first part. Do I know who Master Farah Muhammad is? Yes, sir, I'm well aware who he is. He's a man whose teaching and ideology have saved my life, and he's a man whose teaching and ideology has saved many lives on this phone. He's a man whose teaching and ideology has given us many of our heroes, but he is an unsung hero. I'm talking about Master Farah Muhammad. I don't care what you say about his picture. I don't care what you say he looked like. All I know, like we said in the church, all I know is what he done for me. I know he done gave Elijah the knowledge that Elijah had, and I know he gave the teaching that woke Malcolm up. And Malcolm said he was in jail. He saw Master Farah Muhammad in a vision, and that woke him up. So I thank Master Farah Muhammad for helping to give me Malcolm. I'm going to thank Master Farah Muhammad for helping give me the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, who was all messed up till he met Master Farah Muhammad, and he only had a fourth grade education. He went on to help us all. Everybody who got sent, say all praise is due to Allah for the honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
Shoot, if you say all praise is due for honorable Elijah Muhammad, you got to give his teacher credit. And so I could go on and on about the love that I have for Master Farah Muhammad, but my most profound love for him is the love for the supreme wisdom and the books that he give me. He teaches me that the black man is the original man, the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, and the God of the universe. He teaches me that the Caucasian is Yaqub's grafted devil and the skunk of the planet Earth. He teaches me the square mileage. He teaches me the solar facts. He teaches me the actual facts. Oh, what a teacher we have in Master Farah Muhammad. Why go on all day on that? You done open up a can of worms on that black man. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you this, my dear brother, because I love you, black God, and don't let them steer you in the wrong way with all of that fancy teaching they got in the black nation. They'll put this stuff up on Facebook and draw you some Photoshop picture and and tell you some things that I have you twisted. Some people in the name of Islam that say they are Muslims have dogged our people, and there are other peoples who have come in the name of Islam that have helped our people. First of all, Islam is not just a religion. Islam comes from the root, comes from an Arabic root word called salam, and that the root word salam means peace. Then you say, as-salam alaykum, peace be unto you. It's an original language, too. It's one of the original black languages, but it means peace be unto you. Then you got, so you have the word salam, which means peace. It's a root word. It's inside the word of Islam. It's made up of the word salam, which means peace. Islam means to enter into peace. So we are taught, my dear brother, that we did not get Islam from some Arabs of 1,400 years ago, that it wasn't some Arabs who gave us Islam. In fact, we believe that we gave Islam to the Arabs. We are the people of peace since the days of Ra, the creator, and Maat, and Nephthys, and all of the other original black gods and goddesses give us Islam. They give us the Kaaba. They give us ablution or salat. They give us the way of peace, the way of devotion, the way of meditation. They give us what's called religion before religion. In ancient Kemet, ancient Nubia, ancient Africa, at a certain point in what's called the Kushite Empire, which gives us the one God teaching in the Arabian Peninsula prior to Muhammad and even prior to Abraham, all the way back to the Babylonian empires and other empires before them, way before them. So you go read, I'm going to cut it short on that. You could go read Dr. Wesley Muhammad's books on these subjects, the African origin of Islam, the black origin of Islam. And so I would just say this, brother. Yeah, some Arabs don't give a damn about us, and I don't give a damn about them. But I would say this, that if I'm a real African, I'm a straight-up African, I got to look at West African history. I got to look at the Mali Empire. I got to look at the, I got to look at the Mali Empire. I got to look at Timbuktu. I got to look at West Africa. And I got to see that the last time West Africa was in its greatness, and under the great leaders of West Africa, Mansa Musa and Muhammad, Ahmed, Ture, and others, in classical, what they call West African civilization, which is well respected by even our enemies, I would have to say and acknowledge that these are Muslim empires and even Moorish empires. It's all right. The Moors in the audience. And so, brother, just don't broad brush anything. Yes, some have come in the name of Islam and have hurt our people, but many have come as Muslims that have helped our people. And the most valuable Muslims that have helped our people here was Noble Drew Ali, who helped our people a lot. There was a Muslim named Deuce Muhammad Ali, who was the teacher of Marcus Garvey, and Garvey was influenced by him. And whether you like Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X, and whether you like Farrakhan or not, and I know you like you some Khalid Muhammad, they are all Muslims. So it's all good, right. Black man. There's some good and some bad in everything. Now, damn it, you go out there and just black. All black ain't good. Some niggas will kill you, and some niggas will heal you. Go ahead.
Real talk. Next area code, 504-432. You're live on the air now, Black Power Radio, with our national chairman. Your question, your comment, please. Black Power.
Black Power. All power to the people.
Power to the people. Black Power.
All right. But, Brother Malik, this is a question that I really want to ask you. I remember a while back I had the DVD when you were talking about the death of Khalid Abdul Muhammad. You said every leader that has passed, you should investigate. Now, my question is about Brother Huey P. Newton. They're saying that he was killed behind a drug deal that went bad. But what do you really think what happened? What is your view upon that?
You know, brother. I wish I could give you a long answer on that, but I have to just say good question. And I would have to say that not enough investigation has gone on to give us an official death report on Dr. Comrade Huey P. Newton the way we were compelled and did produce a death report for Dr. Khalid Muhammad. Brother, anything could be possible for me, but I've not seen a death report. I read books on it, and it's a touchy subject. I think you're saying that too many people have just conceded that Huey P. Newton just died in a dope deal and that was it, and it may be something bigger to it. And, you know, as a lawyer, I like to look into all sides of things. I like to look into everything. So I'm more inclined with you. That'd be a good question we should ask to the Huey P. Newton Foundation. That's a good question for Bobby Seale. And that's a good question for people that are close to Huey. Those are great questions for David Hilliard and Bobby Seale. And they should answer those questions. And they're good questions, brother. I wish I had a better answer. But I would say Huey P. Newton was brilliant. Huey P. Newton was dangerous in 1969 as well as 89. Because what Huey P. Newton had in his head, all he had to be done was turned around. I still say, and some of y'all may not like it, but I still say if Huey P. Newton would have met with Farrakhan of 89, Huey P. Newton might have restarted the Black Panther Party. It might have caught fire again instead of being out there with all that dope and all of that. If we'd have just been able to get Huey with Farrakhan and Khalid in 89.
Yeah.
But we didn't get that, but we did get the new Black Panther Party. Love you, black man.
All right.
We got a few minutes left on the website. I guess I'll go on the phone line for a little bit afterwards, and then that'll be it.
Okay, sir. Your area code is 252-373. Again, 252-373. You're up next with our national chairman. Please give us your question, your comment, please. Black power to you.
Assalamu alaikum, black man.
Thank you, Islam.
This is for brother Malik Sulu Shabazz. First, I want to say, all praise due to Allah, to Dr. Khalid Muhammad. I won't be long, but I will be strong. Brother Malik, this is Brother Skip Crumpler, my boxing coach, but I'm a more black nationalism, too. I mean, it's a black nationalism.
Yes, sir.
I want to just say this to you about voting. I'm going to make it brief. The reason why I voted for Barack Obama is because there were so many haters out there. You had Rush Limbaugh, you had just Uncle Tom, excuse my language, Nick Roy, nigger. Michael Steels, and it gave me the energy to vote for this black man, because I see he had so many, it energized me, and I voted for him again because it was the same racism that was confronting him, and I just want to say that, but really I call you to compliment you for the work that you're doing for the new Black Panthers. You're doing a great job. I love you. Continued success.
Brother, thank you very much. All I can say is thank you. Brothers and sisters, that's an example of the kind of man I'm talking about. This man he's committed to our people, but he had his own reasons for casting a vote for Obama. He felt that he was casting his vote as a spite against white racism or whatever. He's part of our movement, and he's part of the people that I got to consider when I go out here talking about how I have to talk with some sense. And therefore, again, before I get off this broadcast, I will condemn any policy that I'm against. But I'm not going to get into hating not that man. I ain't the hate Obama man. Now, his policies, we can get down and condemn and start organizing against all day. But, you know, it's just hard for me to hate another black man. It just ain't really in me, man, unless he's, goddamn it, like, well, our name's... He'll give me the name in a few. Love you, black man. Appreciate the caller. What's the next call?
Area code. This is your area code 240-464. 240-464. You're on live now with our national chairman. Your question or comment, please.
Assalamu alaikum and black power to all of those in the audience and to our national chairman, attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. On political views, of course, this previous election, I was privy to go to all of the polls on early turnout. There were early turnouts of black people by the droves in these polling places and in the precincts in various cities across the nation, but I get the access to many cities around the D.C. and Washington metropolitan area, as well as on election day. There were droves of black people. So, Brother Chairman, you have made an excellent point. There were droves of black people that did go out for Obama. I was a man who went out and cast a vote for the President Barack Hussein Obama. And my political environment makes me no less a black revolutionary and a black man. Everything about me is black. But I do love the position that the chairman has taken in being honest. And that's what I give the chairman an accolade for, honesty in the policy and sticking to his views in the light of the majority, as he said, the 98% or even maybe more that actually those that were registered to vote that actually got up and went out and cast that vote for the president. And it was something that was effective in the fact that so many white racists, so many white oppositionalists, it did something. When you saw the faces of those in Boston and other major cities, that after the president had been chosen as the winner in this particular election, it was as though they had seen a ghost. Shock and awe for white America. And there's very few men anywhere that done anything to shock and awe a cracker in this aisle. So that's one of the reasons I cast my vote there.
Yes, sir.
And I thank Chairman and Brother Sean for allowing me a minute to speak today.
Thank you, sir.
Thank
all right.
You.
All right. Thank you, Brother Imam Akbar. And I appreciate your compliment. And he's another brothers. And this is one of the brothers and sisters in the community that, you know, they have the same concerns as us, but, you know, they like to throw some cold water in Rush Limbaugh's face, and
no
they
want
to see Sean Hannity turn red, and they want to see a whole bunch of the rebel flag carrying white people pissed off and angry, so they go vote for Obama. So you gotta calculate that as well in this hour. I'll take
yes,
the next.
Sir.
Yeah.
Next caller, you're at Eric 214-395. Again, 214-395. You're on now live with our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zul-Shabazz. Give us your question, please.
I really didn't have a question, Black Power family. This is Brother DK. I really had a comment, you know, on the brother who spoke against police terrorism in the community. The chairman ripped it up. You know, he fired it up. But the stance that we have to take is to support organizations who already have propaganda in place, like the New Black Panther Party, you know. We have propaganda and tools and tactics in place that we have to get out into the community and start enforcing with the people, you know, starting on a grassroots level. You know what I mean? The camera, the, you know, monitoring the police with the cell phones and the cameras. You know, every time we see a black brother pulled over and we see somebody pulled over, instead of standing back and spectating, let's stand back and spectate with some effort and you know, videotape this stuff. So we got our hands up on the situation. We do have people in place like Black Lives for Justice who are there to fight on the courtroom level. You know, we used to say, well, we're not gonna take it and stand up and raise hands in the streets, but we gotta take it to up another notch, you know. Now that we got some people in place legally that can help us, we have to help ourselves and the community, you know, has to get out and help themselves. So the first thing is just, you know, get into the community and make people, let people know what they can do and what they can't do, and we have to overcome that fear factor of the police, period. You know, people have this freedom when the cop is a cop. You know, they're right. No, cops are wrong every day. You know what I mean? Cops are wrong every day, and shit happens to our people every day. You know what I mean? That they get away with because people just allow it to go by, you know, and allow it to happen, and nothing gets done about it. You know, and if we keep bringing this to the forefront, then eventually, you know, like I say, we have to start organizing together with other people, but we have to get into the community and pump the masses on how important this is. But a lot of times people don't listen until it happens to them or somebody they love. Then, you know, they stand out and say, oh, we want your help. You know, what you going to do for us? First of all, it's what you going to do for yourself. You know, what we going to do for ourselves, you know, as individuals first. What are we going to do to protect our own families? Because it can happen to any of our families. So we have to get that out, that message out to the people and let them know, hey, man, it starts with policing our own communities. And this is something that we've taught for years, you know what I mean, since the existence of the organization. We've taught this for years. since the original party, back down to the new Black Panther Party. This has been, it's been taught forever. We have to start back policing our communities and really, really mean that, stand by that, you know, throughout whatever it takes. They come down on us, we come down on them. We have to say that and mean it and, you know, put action behind it. And the people that don't know how to do it, we have to train them on how to do it, you know. Starting with the babies. I mean, every child has a cell phone damn near nowadays. You know what I mean? The teenagers and the kids, get them involved. Get the youth involved. From the youth, you know, back down to, no disrespect, but we got some scary elders, man, who put fear in the people because they feared the devil. You know what I'm saying? And that, the people just have been taught fear. We got to overcome that fear factor, break that chain of fear, and then take a strong stance and fight. You know what I mean? Fight back against what's right and let the people in the high, in high places, deal with it on another level in that courtroom, in that legal system. Once they start getting hit and then bring these victories out to the masses and the people have some hope, then we give them something bigger than what they think they're getting from Obama, Black Power.
Yes, sir. And before I go, I do want to keep the record right here for those that will listen to this tape later. One thing I must give Mr. Obama credit for, and that's dropping the charges against the new Black Panther Party for so-called voter intimidation in 2008. Now, if he don't get no credit for anything from the from this movement, he should get credit for that because there was intense pressure on him to keep them charges on and really intense pressure to reinstate them charges for political reasons prior to the 2010 midterm election. And when the case of the new Black Panther Party came on his desk and when the dogs was out, Holland to get the Panther Party and its leadership, he did not call out the dogs on us. And we still have criticized him heavily since then. But you have to be mature enough to give credit where credit is due if you're going to be balanced. Now, the man did call the dogs off of us, and he did not go for the pressure, and everybody was betting that he was coming back after us, because he didn't owe us nothing, because we did not support him as no organization in no 2008. So
oh,
he
sir.
Gets credit for that. What I want to say is this. On this subject here, that's a great talk, DK. And you know what? I'm going to say this to the new Black Panther Party that's on the telephone. That this, if there's a single issue campaign where the new Black Panther Party really could shine and where the new Black Panther Party could make a breakthrough and cross party lines and get support where it don't normally get support and get people to listen to them who would not normally listen to them and get respect where we normally don't get respect, this would be in the field of ground operations against police abuse against our people. It's a problem that very few are brave enough to fight, but it's a problem that affects us all one way or another from the street to the courtroom. And my strong advice to the new Black Panther Party in the local cities where it's are is to say that you could be the key to building a movement and being a national movement against police brutality that's interconnected. And that even if it's not a national movement, you in these local cities, inside of the new Black Panther Party, you in these cities, the way that you can break the ice, the way that you can get the help and the resuscitation you need, the way you can make your mark right now is in the area of defense. It's in the area of building that. If you're going to build up this militia, if you're going to build up this defense force, if you're going to build up an organization dedicated to self-defense, New Black Panther Party for self-defense, and it may be wise to use the resources of the party in a more strategic manner. I know we think we can save everything and everybody, but sometimes that might not be realistic. My advice to the New Black Panther Party, particularly in the local cities, is take on these issues of police abuse, police brutality, and injustices in the criminal justice system, and there you will find Black people in need. They will love you, and they need help. They need all kind of things. They need marches and demonstrations, but they sure need investigations And on the streets, they need legal information. You can
get
my pamphlets and other cards and take it to the streets and educate the people. They will appreciate it. They may forgive you for everything else when you start helping them against police abuse. And this could be a great area for the Panther Party. Eventually, yeah, we can move on to community patrols. I mean, we could do a lot. We can make a lot of headway. You could get a lot of mileage. But it's going to take some guts. And when you start dealing with these police, you can't be scared. Even when they ain't nowhere around and you organizing against them, you're going to see them somewhere. I have to see they behind somewhere else, too. But since we say we bold and brave and we are military, well, we need to just, maybe the whole thing for the Panther Party need to just focus on the military aspect. And if you just narrow down and focus down on that and get that right and offer a sincere service to the people, with help against police abuse and help against violence in the community, then I think God will bless you and the black community will bless you. I'll take the next question.
Yes, sir. Your area code is 562-239. Again, area code 562-239. You're now live on the air with our national chairman. Give us your question or comment, please. Black Power.
Thank you so much, Black Power. And assalamu alaikum. Brother Sean, National Spokesman, Brother Vernon, West
hey,
Coast
Black
Minister
Power.
Of Culture, brother.
Yes, sir. Black Power.
Brother Vernon, Black Power, how are you?
And Black Power, brother Chairman. So glad to hear, so good to hear your voice again, good brother. And we're back on the air. No, brother, I just have a comment, brother. I'm glad we're back. I'm glad we're back on key with this Black Power and speaking, brother, and letting our brothers talk around the country. But, brother, I want to say this. Brother, yourself and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan are the only two men I'm listening to. Brother, I'm not going to comment on Barack Obama. I did not vote. And, brother, I just want to state with that. Speaking to Brother Sean the other day, like brother was on Blog Talk Radio with us, and Brother National Spokesman said, we'll see. You know what I mean? We'll see in the coming months. We'll see in the coming years. Because I do know this, Barack Obama is in bed with the devil. He is in a seat that's owned by the devil, okay? He's financed by the devil. You know what I mean? This is the devil's country, his court, his system, everything of government is by the devil. So as Brother Sean says, maybe Allah will intervene. But, brother, right now, Brother Malik, yourself, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan are the only two men that I have any trust in or I'm listening to, dear brother. And brother, love you, brother. And I was so glad to see you in L.A. back in the summer. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Vernon. You have stipulated what we call in the legal world just admissions. These are certain facts that the opposite, that we must concede as admissions, and we don't even have to debate them. Because we, again, as I said in my first answer, we're knowing the nature of America and the nature of scripture and prophecy. And so your answer, you know, is a correct answer in the sense that we don't even have to really wait and see because we already know the answer. The question,
yep.
We already know that not much, if anything, and certainly not what's justly due, will be delivered to his most loyal constituency. His most loyal constituency, black people. If you measure what a political constituency should receive for being that loyal, there are slim odds that we will get real justice in the black community. And if you want to get specific, I'm talking about an increase in education. I'm just talking about what voters think. This is me and you different, but some of it could be found in our 10-point program still. Now, let's give the man some credit, and we can reference our 10-point program and the black community in the sense that if there's one thing that I know I can walk out my door and ask black people, well, how have Obama administration helped you? Now, there's some people, and I found it to be true myself, that his Health Care Act and what they call Obamacare has made obtaining health care much easier for many in the black community. Now that is a verified fact, and there are some who will swear by it in the community. And in our 10-point program, it says we demand free health care. Now, Obamacare ain't free health care, but it was some kind of step in that direction. So I give him, so to me, as just being a man that I like just giving fair evidence and fair credit on the evidence, I have to say that Obamacare is something that in the black community will tell you. I ain't got to tell you. They swear by some Obamacare. But other than Obamacare, what can you really expect to show that Obama really cares about us? Some say we'll see. I'm highly doubtful, black man. I'm highly doubtful that we will see a specific increase in funding and initiatives inside of the black community to help black school children in underprivileged neighborhoods such as myself. I doubt if we'll see more funding to help alleviate the plight of those who are ex-felons, to give them their rights back to vote, that there will be any programs, initiatives, or jobs for them or us. But I doubt that we get any more jobs in the black community, and I doubt if any more jobs are created in America, and I doubt it, that the unemployment rate gonna go down. What'd he say? I doubt it.
Doubt it.
What that rapper say? You thinking you gonna get a new job? I doubt it. You thinking Obama gonna save your life? I doubt it.
Right.
I doubt it. It's not gonna happen, black man. And so what it is now is we're faced with the same situation that we are in under any Republican administration or Democratic administration. And my approach, Brother Vernon, is always on how we can defeat what we failed to do in the last 20 years. When Jimmy Carter lost the White House to Ronald Reagan, those who are from that era know that between 1980 and 1988, there was a strong rise in nationalist sentiment. And matter of fact, it can be argued, certainly, that the rise of Ronald Reagan corresponded also with the rise of a nationalistic fervor in the black community that peaked, was peaking in 88, and it gave rise. Farrakhan came up strong in that era, Public Enemy strong in that era. Revolutionary rap, conscious rap, came along in that era. And then you had George Bush 1 come in 88, 92, and he fueled it even further. And the movement was strong back then. Then what happened was Bill Clinton, the first quote-unquote black president, Slick Willie, he come in, and what he did, it still in and of itself had a corresponding numbing effect on the black community with this so-called first black president. But nevertheless, still in that time of 1992 through his first term, 1996, you still saw the rise of Louis Farrakhan, all the way to the Million Man March in 1995, coming on the heels of Gingrich's and the Republican Party sweep of the Congress in 1994 with a so-called contract on America, yet still with Slick Willie in office and a softening of black people towards the government, towards a more benevolent slave master, still the rise of Khalid Muhammad in the Bill Clinton era, his first term in specific, the rise of the power and influence of Minister Farrakhan, even in that era of the 90s. You see, our movement now still going. But here, where, brother, we have fallen off. And anybody that say they're going to lead right now got to see where the future of this thing is going to go, especially with Obama guaranteed to be in power another 4 years. If we don't approach this equation or situation right, we could witness the destruction of our movement. the dismantling and the disintegration of our movement for a variety of critical reasons. But let's backtrack for a minute and see how, as Minister Sean was teaching early on, good teaching. But what happened was, after the Million Man March, this movement saw a dissipation in its dedication and intensity towards the nationalist principles. And we also could say that the leadership did not seize the moment and seize the time. And I'm talking about all of us, none in specific. Can't blame nobody, even though I was just whatever I was, 26 years old at that time. However that was, we did not seize the time and seize the moment of the Million Man March. And I'm not taking nothing away from the greatness of that day, the glory of that day, the awesomeness of that day, the divine spirituality, reason of that day. It's a divine then, it was divine now. Certainly was a divine call from a divinely guided man, Minister Louis Farrakhan. But if you want to look at movements here now, you got Democratic Party here, and you got a nationalist movement here. What have we really done as leadership, really? Because you really can't blame the people. So here you got now, 1992 to 1996, in Bill Clinton's first term, and we come off the Million Man March, which still leaves black people with a heavy, heavy dose of nationalism, nationalist sentiments. But after that is where the problems in this movement develop to the extent by 1998. Khalid Muhammad is now looking like he's rising in the power through the Million Man March in New York. He's rising in the power in 98. And hell, he's rising, but he's damn near all alone. You got a strong Nubian nation still at that time. Dr. Malachi York, 33/720 degrees. Dr. Malachi Z. York, formerly Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. His movement still, though not as popular in the press, still going strong up to his arrest in early 2002. He was coming on him. You got his movement going strong. You got Dr. Khalid Muhammad going strong, but still you have a falling away at that point. And I'm here in the midst of that to the extent. By the time that Dr. Muhammad passes in 2001, and hell, Minister Farrakhan was sick for several years in that period of time anyway. And so what you get right now, by the time you get the rise of Bush in 2000, hell, me and Dr. Muhammad and the Panthers was at the inauguration at that time. I can clearly see those days. And so when the Black Power General passes from amongst us and Bush rises, you would expect, Brother Vernon, to see a real rise now. As bad as Bush is, you would expect to see a real rise in nationalism, activism, unity amongst black people, self-determination, the desire to pool our resources and do for self, educate ourselves. That should be the time. But the leadership was not necessarily present to guide and corral the people and take them where we want to go. And so what do? They get pissed off by Bush for 8 years. They hang out there, but we essentially leave them in the hands of the Democratic Party, who comes back calling in 2008 and say, come on back, my niggas. Come on back. Come on. And we, like a hurt dog or a hurt puppy, come running back. for fear of the Republicans not having another good shepherd to call his sheep and say, this is the plan of God. This is the plan of the seed of Abraham. You see? I mean, now we do have that in our midst. Don't get me wrong. We have in our midst the modern, as it is taught in the Nation of Islam teaching, a modern Moses or modern Aaron on the scene. You have a man that is making that call. I'm not taking nothing away from him. But I'm talking about now verified proof that whatever opposition is, that it's working amongst the masses. Because right now it's the Democratic Party and the masses that's got control of these masses. It ain't the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. It ain't Malik Zulu Shabazz. It ain't the Uhuru movement. It ain't none of y'all that's got control over black people right now. It's the Democratic Party. And so I say all of that to say in conclusion, my dear brother, is that right now we are facing a leadership question. Right now we should be rethinking and reevaluating everything that we're doing and how we're doing it and why we're doing it while holding fast to our principles. We need to be reexamining how we carry out them principles and get our message across so we can be successful. Otherwise, we will be an isolated group of people just talking, when in reality, with all of the billions that these campaigns have, this message from God that we got could resonate amongst black people. But this movement, I'm talking about this movement here, I'm talking about all of us in this so-called conscious movement, well beyond the Panther Party, and the Panther Party too, of course. Panther Party could solve it all by getting this stuff together. But nevertheless, all of us, we need to reapproach this. The Bible says a wise man changes often, but a fool changes not. See, the matter of fact of the matter is that until the people see that us who believe in the nation concept, the national concept, the separation concept, the nationalist concept, until they see us actively working together, well beyond the symbolism of an occasional appearance on the rostrum, until they see that despite our differences in positions, that they are Nation of Islam, a New Black Panther Party, a UNIA, Infidem, a host of other local nationalist organizations, so they can see us, that we can come to the table and convene and present a plan and carry out a plan that their babies can benefit from and their children can benefit from and how they can help our lives. And, brother, we're going to get our ass kicked by the Democratic Party and Barack Obama for the next 4 years, and then the Republicans going to come kick our ass, and anybody going to come kick our ass.
Yes, sir.
That's just keeping it real. We better get this thing together right now or else. You know, I'm going to go on about 15 more minutes and I'm going to get off, but I would like this broadcast to be saved and repeated and put out there. What am I saying? I'm putting out an offer for dialogue. I put out an offer for dialogue to every black organization and every black scholar and teacher out there. This is from Malik Zulu Shabazz. If I put my offer out there, I will sit down with Umar Abdullah Johnson as well as Benjamin Jealous of the NAACP. I've done it many times before, but I would love to, again, sit down with Minister Louis Farrakhan. And goddammit, I'll sit down with the head of the Urban League. I want to sit down with the head of Kappa Alpha Psi and reconvene with the black riders. It's time for black people that really want to help our people and are sincere about our people to talk to each other and get in a room and talk to each other and stop making an atmosphere that's so poisonous that nobody can talk to each other because we done talked so bad about each other and went on these damn rostrums and went in these rooms and dogged each other out so bad that you'll You can't even talk to me because you done dogged me out in front of your followers so bad, or you can't talk to your brother or sister about the people that you both love because you have went to that rostrum and you went on that post and you went on that internet and dogged them out so bad. So I didn't understand it yesterday, but I understand what Minister Farrakhan was teaching me and at different times Minister Khaled. He say inside of the black nation, it's better if you attack a person's position and policy and don't necessarily destroy their person when you get on that rostrum. Because number one, you ain't perfect yourself. And number two is you can poison. This is what I am. Am I still on?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
This is what I have deduced from that. I didn't see it yesterday, but I see it today. You don't want to poison the atmosphere so much where dialogue amongst us can never be achieved because we talk so crazy. So people talk about us and me in different times, and rarely do I respond.
True.
But still, I see God in that black man and that black woman. As much as I disagree with Mr. Obama's foreign policy, I would have no problem tomorrow sitting down with him one-on-one and let's have a talk about it. I would love that chance to have that one-on-one meeting with President Barack Hussein Obama. I believe that I can talk to the black man in him and talk the language to him and talk facts and military facts and political facts to him, and I believe I could touch him if I could get through all them devils around him. Nevertheless, it's wishful thinking. And so what we really got to do here is talk to each other now. And so again, once again, I put out an olive branch to every black organization and cause. You know we need each other. We need to have a talk. Take next call.
Yes, sir. Your area code is 646-578. Again, 646-578. You're on live now with the National Chairman. Give us your question, a comment, please. And Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power.
I'm on with it.
Right. Brother Malik, this is Mecca. I'm so inspired every time I listen on you. I listen to your interview on Fox, you know, challenging and debating Bill O'Reilly. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it inspires me. I was born in the Bronx, but my parents are from Nigeria. I was raised in Nigeria, West Africa. Last time I told you about my research about Nubian Nation, you know, so I'm so much interested in getting involved in what's going on, you know. So I'm so appreciative, you know. So... besides, how can I get involved in the movement?
My dear brother, I'm going to be honest to you in my answer. First of all, I want to give you a phone number where you can reach me. You can text me at 240-464-1520. Text me at 240-464-1520. Because whenever I can hear one out there that sincerely appreciates in specific my work and wants to work with me, I'm aiming not to disappoint you. So I want you to text me because I'm going to try to find some way to communicate with you or work with you and keep you in the loop. Because if I've done something to inspire you, I want to help do it. Now, I wish I could legitimately say that I could give you a number and refer you to my own organization and that would satisfy you and you could go and get involved and join right away, and there it goes. We're on our way to revolution, but we're not quite ready for you yet. And so you just contact me personally, sir. And what I'll do is I'll speak with you and I'll see how I can help you work with our movement, help you work with Minister Sean and others that are functioning right. And some way or another, you can join for this fight for justice. But I wish I had for everybody in this audience in every city, I wish I had a place I could just send you right now. But we have issues that we have to solve to get to that kind of level. So you text, brother, 240-464-1520. Thank you for your words. I want to work with you, black man, and help you reach your divine destiny. We have some people here to help you. To others in the radio listening audience, in the New Black Panther Party and others, we got a lot of work to do. Because it's one thing to criticize Mr. Obama, but it's another thing to have an alternative in place that can satisfy these brothers and sisters' political reality. I mean, pardon me, political needs. I'm going to take one more question, then I got to go.
Yes, sir. This is the last question of the night. Your area code is 225-262. Again, 225-262. You're on live now with our national chairman, Dr. Malik Shabazz. Please give us your question and thank you.
Dr. Malik.
Yes.
This is Silky Slim, man. I want to thank you for all that you are doing. You already know, man, that we are a lot of soldiers out here trying to make a difference, and we need more unity. And as you know, brother, my mother is on her dying bed, and I'm tending to my mother, but this is so important, so I also have to listen to this. And I want to tell all brothers out there that are listening that it's super important for us to stick together at this time, and that we have to be unified regardless to what organization we're from. I'm from the Nation of Islam, and me and Brother Malik has put many, many long hours in to stop the killing of our own brothers by our brothers. And that's a very important mission that we have to take up on, to take our brothers that are out of their minds right now, that don't know exactly what they're doing and are killing each other in the streets while the enemy sits back and laughs at us. So we have to reach out to our street disciples and make sure that we get a positive message into their mind to resurrect them from the grave that they're in. And as you know, brother, I've been in the streets, so if the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan can wake me up and wake up individuals like you, and without the most honorable Elijah Muhammad setting the pace for a black man, none of us probably would be standing. They had to have a man to make a man, and you have to know a God to be a God. So at the end of the day, brother, I just want to commend you and thank you for so much. And like I was telling you earlier, that strong have to draw strength from other strong men. You can't draw strength from weak men. And it's good to sit back and for us to be inspired by men, but once that man inspires you, then your job has to be to go out and inspire others, brother. I just wanted to commend you on that, brother. Thank you so much.
Brother, I appreciate you for your words, and appreciate you even more, brother, for your spirit and your courage to come on this radio and even listen to this broadcast while your mother is making her transition to the world of the ancestors. That really means you're a true soldier, and you're a true brother, brother, to me, man, and I love you so much.
I love you too, brother. Yeah, I love you too, brother.
Spooky Slim, brothers and sisters from Baton Rouge, he's done a hell of a work amongst our youth and amongst our people. And he has done, he just really needs your support, because if you ever hear him teach, this man should be teaching everywhere all over America. I mean, he comes from the street, he comes from the hood, but he's got the word of God in him. And there's no place he can't go and be effective. And so I pray for you, dear brother, that in this transition that new life is bestowed in you, and that her spirit continue to remain and abide and abound in you, and that you fly high, black man, like Heru and like Horus, man.
We just need
to do more, man. Whatever I can do for you, black man, you know, even if it's just wrap my arms around you and give you a hug, black man, you certainly got it right now from this radio.
Definitely,
you got it.
I appreciate it.
What we do.
Appreciate everybody on the line, man, and I love you all, man. Thank you so much, Malik.
Love you, brother, sister. And that's Brother Silky Slim. That's our brother who's in transition to the dearest person in his life and probably all of our lives, and that is our mothers, who we should deeply respect. We don't know how to do anything else is to respect and honor our mothers and honor them while they are living. Now, I'll take a few more questions, brother. I'll run it out. Let me run out to the for a couple more questions, and then I'll let it go. Are you there? I think it might have cut off anyway. Hello?
Are your bills piling up? Filing bankruptcy may help your financial situation. Connect now and find out more. Get a free bankruptcy evaluation by a local attorney today. Press the star key now to be connected to Total Bankruptcy.
I would like to make a few comments concerning the difference between the Black Revolution and the Negro Revolution. There's a difference. When you study the historic nature of revolutions, the motive of a revolution, the objective of a revolution, and the result of a revolution, and the methods used in a revolution, you may change words. You may devise another program. You may change your goal and you may change your mind. Look at the American Revolution in 1776. That revolution was for what? For land. How was it? Why did they want land? Independence. How was it carried out? Bloodshed.